Most often, people ask this question, where is God in their hardships? People forget that they must keep hope and never lose faith. Good day and welcome to another episode of State of Mind with JB. Please sit back and enjoy today's episode of the Sunday Smash edition titled, I Encourage You to Have Faith. We are people. And God didn't promise us that we are going to have a nice time while we are alive. God never promised us that we are not going to face hardship. God never said that all I'm going to give you is just this clear path with no problems. But God said to us in Jeremiah, I want to give you, I have a life which is prosperous. I have a plan for you. I don't want you to live a life of having misery, but I want you to have a good life. Yet most often, we are crying. Even during coronavirus, we were crying. All of these happen for a reason. God knows why things have to happen. Yet people, if they're not asking, where is God in the hardships? The question will come like, I have been praying. Okay? They will say, I have been praying. I have been doing everything for the Lord. Yet, why hasn't my situation changed? We have to remember that God requires faith from us. God doesn't require material things. God just wants to see the faith. God just wants to see how much you trust Him. God just wants you to put everything onto Him and have faith and have faith. My example, which I mostly often and tell people, is that look at Job. To me, Job is the best example of the faith you can encourage people to have, or the faith of Abraham. Because look at Job's, look at it carefully. Job suffered through a disease. Job, someone who lost everything. Job faced strategy. But on top of that, Job still kept his faith unto God. Friends and family who were close to Job, they pulled back away from Job. Job's wife said, why can't you just swear to God? Because God is making us a laughing stock. What did Job say? I won't do that. We have to understand that God just requires us faith and to trust Him. Look how long it took for Abraham to get to have Isaac as a son. And all after Sarah passed on and he was left with Isaac, an angel came and asked and told Abraham, go and sacrifice for me at the mountain of Moriah with your only child, Isaac. Did Abraham refuse? No. That angel just said, it's fine, you see. About the moment when he was about to step and give Isaac as an offering to the Lord, as he was told by that angel said, stop Abraham. I see you trust me. And he was blessed even going forward. We as people have to understand that faith is something that God needs. And faith is something which we all have to grow in ourselves. Life is never going to be easy. Life is going to be difficult. Life is going to be something which we will have to keep on pushing and thriving, which we will have to keep on pushing ourselves limits. At the same time, we have to also understand that we have to grow our faith. We have to keep on reading the Bible. We have to keep on leaning into God. We have to keep on trusting in Him. Because remember, where there's good times, there are also bad times. Where there's joy, there's sadness. Where there's tears, there's smiles. So you have to understand that everything happens. But we have to keep in all of this, we shouldn't change our faith and turn it away from the Lord. Yet, remember that in Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus encourages us that when you have mastered faith, when you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing shall be impossible unto you. But this remains. However, these questions, they're still there. People keep on asking, you ask yourself, why do many of God's people pray, fast, cry, sow seeds, confess scriptures, and still experience frustration, even tragedies in their finance, health, jobs, marriages, and businesses? You ask yourself, why do we often hear this question? Oh God, why me? Why should I go through such tough times? If it's not you, who should it be then? Because God has the plan for your journey in life. Yes, God will give you each and everything, but your faith needs to be tested. Your faith needs to be grown. We all find ourselves in different sticky situations in life. God is just looking that, are we going to just trust in Him? Because faith means to trust in what you can't see. Faith means that you believe in something that you have not even seen yet. Faith means that you understand God's situation and how God works and how He is delivering. You do not have to. You just trust in Him. Just like Abraham did when he wanted to sacrifice with Isaac. You just give everything to the Lord. Romans 28, verse 28, chapter 8, verse 28 states that, and we know that all things works for good, and we know that in all things God works for those Romans chapter 8 verse 28 states that, and we know that in all things God works for good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We should know and understand that and always put it in our minds and write it down in our hearts. Our God is a purposeful God. He doesn't give us burdens that are too heavy for us. But yet more than any problems, it is us who create problems. We fail to deliver the problems to Him. We fail to let Him know what is bothering us. We decide to keep everything inside. If I'm having problems at school, I assume it's better for me to keep it inside. We limit God to what God can do. We worry too much. We cry a lot. But we forget about the words in Philippians 4, verse 6, which says that, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guide your hearts, minds as well, as you live in Christ Jesus. So we as people, we lock in things inside our hearts. We are told in Philippians, do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You find me struggling to find employment, or you find me being employed, having problems, or you find me in school, having problems, or you find me having family problems, or you find me facing difficulties in financial problems. Instead of pouring out to the Lord's ear, what do? I coop up things and I bottle them inside. The reason that we should kneel down and tell God is just one reason. God knows that we are human beings. And when we keep on bottling things up, it will create diseases for us. Diseases which God doesn't want us to have. But with this, if I continue as a person, assuming that I can carry my stress on my shoulders, as a psychologist and therapist and all of those etc., they say, bottling things up is like carrying a time bomb in your system. The minute it explodes, there is when all those diseases come out. That's when the heart diseases such as high blood and others will come along. You will be a person who's stressed all the time. God just wants faith only. He will deliver the rest to you. Just give everything to Him. Don't worry about anything. Just pray about everything. Tell Him. Why should you be scared to tell the person who created you as a masterpiece? As in the Psalm 139, verse 13 to 15, it says that, For it was you who created my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depth of the earth. Why should I be a person who fails to tell my master everything? Why should I be a person who wants to struggle? Because only thing God wants is He is a sovereign and He is a greater I am. That's how God is. Great is God is greater as He is. As it's stated in chapter 3, Exodus verse 14, which really explains the greater I am. This is God saying it. The greater I am. Do not limit God. Do not put God in a box and limit what He can do. There is nothing which the Lord can do. The only thing that the Lord fails into doing is to disappoint us. The Lord will never disappoint you. He will always deliver in what He says. It's just that His timing is perfect, because the time He wants to give you things, He wants to make sure that you will enjoy those things. By the time He gives you things, He wants you to, when He delivers everything from you, He wants that no one's going to bother you. No one's going to give you issues. You won't have problems when He gives you what He has promised you. If it's the promised land of Canaan, if it's the gift which He wants to deliver to you, He wants to give you at the time where He knows no one will come and bother you. God wants us to tell Him our sorrows, our troubles, everything. He sees what we are going through on a daily basis. He waits for us to tell Him everything, as He's never able to fail. He's not going to fail on us. He knows which path we are going to take in this life. He knew us even before we were in our mother's wombs. He called us by name even if we saw the sunlight. But we are people. We assume that talking to God is only when we kneel down and pray to Him. Not always it can be like that. Talk to God in your daily routine, while you clean, in the shower, you get well, while you are getting dressed, while you are driving, while you are cooking, just talk to God and say, God, this Father, God, our beloved God, who is in heaven, whether you are cooking or cleaning, speak to him. He listens. His ears are wide open, doesn't choose who he listens to, as we are all the same to him. We are people who have to understand that in this generation, the more we get older, is the more we will get busier. So it is time for us to get comfortable with praying on the go, understanding that God understands, hears us, sees everything. Because simultaneous praying whenever you get the chance, just do it. Just take that chance. Grow your faith. Because if we do not have faith in the Lord, what are we here for? Let us cast out all fears onto him. As it is said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Perfect love cast out fear, and that if you still have fear, then we have not reached the full maturity of God's love. Do not fear anything. God just wants your faith and you just believe in him. He will make a way for you like he made for the people of Israel when they came across the Red Sea, just opened. He just wants faith. Untie that fear which you have to be able to reach the full maturity of God's love. The Lord is always with us. As in Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you, and will be with you. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Put everything in God. Let him lead you. Just be the follower. Let him guide you in life. Just follow after him. Let him check all the costs for you. Just follow behind him. Everything is going to be fine. Wipe away those tears if things are going wrong in life. Just keep faith. Ask him. Because we need to believe in God. God heals. God is the master of time. God understands what we need and what we seek in this world. As Psalm 17 says, you cause me to experience many troubles and misfortunes, but you will revive me again. You will bring me up again, even from the depth of the earth. Remember, as I said about Job, he went through a lot, but God was with him. Just as God was with David. God was with David because David was with God. Never lose focus on God because God is there with you. If you want to be with God, call him. He's going to be with you and go, and you will be with the Lord. Psalm 71 verse 21 says, You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. Remember Psalm 75 verse 3 says, when the earth and all its inhabitants shake, I am the one who steadifies its pillars. The world was shaken through the pandemic. The world is shaken through the wars. The world is shaken through all the diseases. The world is shaken through all the different things which are happening in this world. But the Lord, believe me, he will come back and will make it steady again. Keep the faith. Keep praying. Keep believing in the Lord. Keep leaning on towards the Lord. As Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, because when you pray about everything and pray without stopping, God will give you peace that surpasses your understanding. Because God truly answers prayers, as he said in Jeremiah 29:13-14, you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captive. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I drive you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I cause to be carried away from captive. God provides. Even in our grief and sorrows, he is right there. David in Psalm 139 says, Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from him for your presence? If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go to bed, you are there. He is in all parts of our life. His days, presence are everywhere to see. God truly provides us with strength when we ask him. The biggest problem we do not have faith in him. We lose faith. God just operates by faith only. That's the only thing we should understand. God operates by faith. He doesn't require anything from us. Monetary things, money, God doesn't look and care about money. God only looks for faith, which is in deep inside your soul. That's what he only thinks. He wants, trust him. God is the spirit, and we live in a physical and material world. Hence, we must walk by faith. When you pray, God answers you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15 tells us this. This is the confidence that we have in him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that when we have what we have asked for, we should always ask for strength, because he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Through him, we can do all the things. I'm JB State. Never be too shy to express yourself. Thank you. Keep faith and never lose hope in the Lord. It's all right to be an overthinker in this world. A good day and welcome to another episode of Theater of Mind with JB. Please sit back and enjoy this episode titled An Overthinker. What is an overthinker? An overthinker is a person who tends to think a lot most of the time. An overthinker is not an insecure control freak. There are issues that they think a lot. They look into a situation more deeply than an average person. That's their problem. Overthinking does not make them to be crazy. They just think more than an average person. They think far wide about how things will turn out. They look at how things they assume will turn out. They look at each and every opinion or outcome which might transpire. That's why you might see them as people like to control. They're not controlling. The issue is that they're active. Don't take them to be crazy because they think a lot or they do it more than an average person. Just take them that their brain works too much, and sometimes it's better if they could just sit down and relax. Because if they can imagine something and see the outcome. They cannot be able to live in the moment because they are always thinking about what will happen next. That's their problem. They're not control freaks. They're not people who you can assume they're crazy. But they tend to have an issue of living in the moment because they are always thinking about what will happen next. Even if they know it might not happen, but they will put it there as a consideration. They look at each and every situation in a broader context, in a huge nutshell. If I do 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7 will appear. If I do 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10 may transpire. So they are always thinking ahead. Sometimes they can even come and save you from doing something which will lead you into trouble. Because you might tell them you want to do something. And then they sit down and look at each and every end and each and every corner. And then they'll come and tell you, do you know if you do what you are planning to do, you will end up with such a problem, a huge one. And do you assume you want to risk it? That's how overthinkers are. They tend to analyze each and every situation deeper than the picture is. They tend to want to look at the bigger, huge picture than what is in front of them. They know that relationships can be challenging. That is why they pay particular attention to what is being said to that person, to them or that overthinker who is at that moment being told. But the most sweet thing about an overthinker is that once they love you, they will love you. They will pour you with love. They will shower you with love. They will make you that you are okay, you are right, you are fine. They will love you. They will give you that love. That when you want back up, they will be there, man. If you ask them to show up, they will show up. If you want them to accompany you somewhere, they will come along with you. Once they love, they just give it all out. And another thing about an overthinker is that when an overthinker says, I am sorry, they are truly sorry. And they really just want you to accept their apology. Because it becomes a burden when they apologize and you dismiss the apology or you sideline them. It becomes heavy upon their heart that they took their time trying to analyze what went wrong. And if it's them who did something wrong, they will come back to you and they will apologize genuinely. But yet we are people. Sometimes when I come and apologize, or you come and apologize, I might sideline you because I assume my emotions are trampled on, so I have a right to sideline you. And I don't know if you are an overthinker. Obviously it won't hold you right until I say no problem, your apology has been accepted. You'll keep on assuming and thinking that no, the person doesn't want to apologize. I forgive me. It means I went too much, or maybe they don't want to speak to me anymore, or maybe the relationship might be dead. Such things. That's how it is. If you can just accept it on the get-go when it comes from an overthinker, you make their life simple. You make their day to go smoothly. You make everything for them to sail smoothly, understanding, yes, they were wrong. You forgive them. Life moves on. So they tend to think a lot. If a person doesn't just give them the green light that their apology has been accepted, they tend to struggle a lot this movie, they toss and turn on the bed, which will take you to another fact about them, that they cannot sleep at night when they made a wrong choice. To them, a choice is not just a choice, because every choice to them is important. Each and every decision they take, they have to have made, they thought it out through. They have to make sure that each and every choice they make will lead to results, because they always try to be on time. They are always prepared, and they usually have more than one alarm, because they don't want to see surprises when they wake up. So if one decision goes wrong, one choice goes wrong, that's when problems will come upon them, that they took their time, they prepared, and they set more than one alarm just to make one big wrong choice, or one small choice, wrong small choice to them will cause problems. Believe me, sometimes we all go there. Sometimes I assume we all have that small glimpse of being an overthinker, because I once made a choice and it didn't sit well with me. I tried to sleep, but my sleep just ended here and there. I tried to sleep. The sleep, I'm talking about one night. I'm not talking about it being consecutively. One night, I made it during the day, that choice I took. And it tend to be a wrong choice, because I thought maybe if I, the choice which I made, it was something right, and it tend to be a wrong, poorly choice. So that's that one night. I would sleep, I would go to sleep maybe an hour. After that hour, I wake up. I will go back. I try, let me just push again and sleep. 30 minutes later, I'm up looking at the roof. Again, I doze off again. Same scenario, same procedure. The nights tend to be something very long, because I kept on tossing, I kept on waking up, my sleep just didn't want to, my heart was pumping very, very fast. So it's I understand that sometimes how overthinkers are, because they are in, people assume that they are indecisive, but once they make that decision, just know that no one can come there and change their mind. An overthinker, once a decision is taken, once a choice has been made, it's final. No matter what others can come and say, the decision is final, case closed. They won't change that decision. If they change it, it means it's after a while, after the long, long run. Once they decide that today they're doing something, just know that they will do it. And no one can come in and stop them. Once they set their mind on something, their mind is set, done and dusted. No matter what you can say, their minds are blocked. They don't enter. They will refuse to take what you're telling them, because they just don't take decisions willingly. Those decisions have to be proper. They have to be taken well. So once a decision has been made, the decision is final, dusted, nothing can change their mind, because they took time. They thought about it. They deliberated on it alone. Look at each and every angle. And they found that, let's go for what the decision that they have made. They've said, I have made my bed. with this decision, with this choice I have made, I will lie on it. Whether we care, you come and tell them this or that. Once the decision has been made, just say they have put a stamp on it. It's done and dusted. You cannot change their perspective on that decision they have taken. Another thing about them, they cannot let anything go, because if they understand it better, they can change the outcome. So that's how they are. Letting go of something to them is a huge job. If they can understand what's happening, what's the situation, what's the real scenario on the ground, once they understand, they know something, they can change it. It's like if they go and write a test. First test, they didn't test one. They didn't understand anything. But they studied, because you can study and still don't understand. Yet, if they can survive without understanding, believe me, when they go and write another test, we can say second test, when they go for it, just know what they will produce will be a stunning comeback. So that's how it is. They tend to overthink a lot. And the issue that I see upon overthinkers, they have high expectations. And if they don't get those expectations, they are very hard on themselves. Very hard. They beat themselves to the ground. You won't see it, but inside them, they are very hard upon themselves. Too hard to the extent that if it was possible for us to analyze each and every person, overthinkers, when something went wrong, when they expected higher results, if we were able to analyze, we would say, please, relax, because you cannot be thinking like this all the time. And they tend to expect a lot from others. And in most case scenarios, because they're overthinkers, when they expect other people will deliver something to them, mostly it does not happen. Mostly they don't get what they expect from others. Mostly they give, but they don't get what they are giving out. Once they expect something from other people, the other people mostly fail to deliver those expectations. And upon that, it still continues and rains down upon them being hard on themselves. So it's not easy being an overthinker. It doesn't seem easy at all. You cannot live in the moment. Some people might say you are a control freak. Some people might take you that you are some kind of being crazy. But be yourself. If you are an overthinker by nature, remain an overthinker. Don't throw yourself away. I'm JB State. Never be too short to explore yourself. Thank you. He always delivers on his promises. Good day and welcome to another episode of Theater of Mind with JB. Please sit back and enjoy today's episode of the Sunday Smash edition titled Lean on His Promises. He always delivers on his promises, as he did with Abraham. Just lean on to his promises and you will reap the rewards of leaning to his promises. God never ever fails to deliver. He always delivers. All we have to do is just to lean on his promises. Luke 1 verse 37 says, God is able to enable the unable. I go again. God is able to enable the unable. That's God. God of many wonders, full of kindness. He delivers his promises. Go to the Bible. Look through each and every promise which he said, and all of those promises, he fulfilled them. Abraham, the father of the nation, he was first told that Sarah could not have a child, and God kept it like that. But God, because he knows is amazing, he knows what he does, he knows his work, he came back upon knowing that Sarah's age has passed. And God said to Abraham and Sarah, you are going to be able to have a child, Sarah. Just like he did with Zachariah and Elizabeth, where he promises, he will fulfill those promises. He knows the time and how you will fulfill your promises. Just lean on what he promises you. Because you can plan as a person, you can plan and do everything. But as Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, with your heart you can plan, or you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there and take heart. That's how he does it. But always, whatever you plan to do in life, always try to make sure you align it to what God wants to do for you in your life, because God will fulfill each and every promise which he promised each and every one of us. Just remember what Luke 1 verse 37 says, God is able to enable the unable. That's how God is. Let us look in our own lives and in our own general. God will give us what he promises. He will deliver us to the promised land. He will provide us with whatever he promised us. When I speak about the promised land, we need to remember that he told the children of Israel that I will take you out. He took them out of Egypt. He promised them that they will arrive at a promised land. They walked a long distance, being led by Moses. Yet along that journey, they complained. They argued. They did all of those things, making the journey to be tough upon Moses. But what did God do? They asked everything. They complained. They did everything. God provided everything which they were crying about along that journey. Still on that journey, took them and they arrived where he promised them. But remember, in that group, it was not all of them who were going to arrive in the promised land of Canaan. Moses didn't make it. When they saw Moses remaining behind and not joining them in the mountain of Sinai Mountain, They cried foul. They complained. Instead of keeping their journey and moving along. That was Moses' journey. That was his life. That was his purpose, to go and fulfill God's promise of taking those children of Israel out of Egypt. Not arriving with them to Egypt, taking them out and making them to be few steps closer to the promised land. That was the lifespan of Moses. Because remember, Moses, God promised Moses what he promised during his lifetime, and he gave him everything. When God told Moses, when he was at that mountain of Sinai, when he stood up there on top of the mountain, and then God showed Moses, you see along those lines there, that's their promised land where I will be taking them. But your journey, Moses, ends here. You are not going to go with them. Yours ends here. He didn't complain. He didn't cry foul and say, God, I want to also go and see the promised land. He didn't. But those who left behind, who the promise was for them, they started to cry foul and started to do all sorts of things which they didn't have to do, because they were still continuing with the journey. But they threw the tantrums and everything at God, not understanding that the journey for Moses had to end there, and they continue. Moses was just to take them out and get them closer to the promised land, the promised land which not Moses promised them, but which God promised them. So that's the problem. It was not Moses who they were crying foul for, who promised them to take, who was promising them to get them to the land of Canaan. It was God. They misread the situation. They assumed that they couldn't arrive since their leader, who was Moses, never came down from the mountain. They assumed that the promise God which made to them was never going to be fulfilled. But he did that. He pushed them. They arrived there. Because Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. Moses, he was a righteous man. He did what he was promised. He took them out. God blessed each and every step, blessed the path of him taking them out there until to the end of his journey. Because from everything God will promise you, he said it in Jeremiah, the most famous verse each and everyone loves the most, that I have plans for you, plans which will not lead you, which will not throw you anywhere, which will give you proper life. He has the plans, and some of us can plan, but what he promises, and by the time he delivers, those plans, his promises are always better than whatever we assume we wanted for ourselves. Because the Romans 4 verse 18 to 22 says, even if when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept believing that he would become the father of the nations, of many nations, for God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith didn't weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as a righteousness, a right man who God loved. Remember, we all came to life via a purpose. God will give us what he has promised us. He will not fail each and every one of you. We are all his children. Whether you believe in him or not, he has a promise for you. And his promise, whether we like it or not, whether people hate you or not, he will fulfill that promise to you. Or I should say promises. Because God is not one who's going to just give you one promise. Yours as a person is just to lean on his promise. Have faith in him. Be like Abraham. Let your faith keep on growing. Trust him. And always know that God is able to do whatever he promises. And by this, by you just providing faith to God, you are able to make God happy. You are able to prove to God that you believe in him. Even when the light doesn't dwell, even if you are going through the valley of darkness, he's going to deliver your promises. But here is our key concern, our key problem as people. Just like the children of Israel, the people of Israel, when they saw that Moses never came back from Mount Sinai, we tend to have their actions, their behavior as people. That behavior which I'm talking about is that one of crying foul. When they saw he never came back, they cried foul, they rolled there, they were angry, instead of continuing with their journey. Our behavior is that. I don't know if we read the Bible and we believe what we are reading, or we just believe we read the Bible for just that time when we are reading it. Because in the book of Isaiah, it says that when the time is right, I, the Lord, shall provide. Each and everyone knows that verse, that part which I just stated from Isaiah, and that part which I said from Jeremiah. But at the same time, we read those words, we know those words, but yet we rush the time. We want to have our own plans on top of what God is planning for us. We want him to rush. But you go and read that Isaiah, and you read it, and now when there's even WhatsApp there, you will find people all over social media, you'll find people posting those words that when the time is right, I, the Lord, shall provide. But yet, as the same very people read those words, I don't know if we read them just for fun or in reverse, or we don't know the meaning of those words, because we are the same very person, people who will complain and cry foul and say, the Lord doesn't see me. The Lord promised me that he's going to give me a better life. The Lord promised me 1, 2, 3. The Lord said, I want to have 5, 4, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Or the Lord wants to, the Lord said this to me, and the Lord said that to me. How do we read and interpret the Bible if we're failing to lean on his promises? Because this journey you're going, all he's asking, he's not asking for you to help him. The Lord never said anyone should come and help him. No, that God doesn't need help. He never came and said anyone should help him. He never asked for anyone to provide assistance. He didn't bring, when he brought you into this life, he didn't ask anyone for his for assistance. He brought you all alone according to his plan. He didn't need assistance when he was bringing Jesus Christ to this world to come and die for us. So the only thing which he needs from us is just one thing. Faith only. It doesn't go, it doesn't want you to go when you got your gift or everything. It doesn't want you to go and or take a car and you say you bought this fancy big car and you say you bought it for the Lord. It's for you to, that's what they promised you. That's yours. Just always remember that to lean on his promises. Give him the faith. Always remember he is able. He never wanted anyone to help him. He knows you better than anyone in this world. He knows you even better than the partner, which you say he know that partner knows you than anyone. But the Lord knows you 100 times better. So he doesn't need help. He just needs you to provide and put your faith on him. Walk the road which you must be walking. Don't be like the children of Israel when they were arrived, when they arrived upon the promised land. They started to be rebellious. How will the Lord even give you more promises? How will he fulfill all his promises if you turn and you start to be rebellious instead of continuing on your path of being humbled? Don't turn into King Saul, who was humble at the beginning and at the end became arrogant. Keep before the way you are when you stick and you are leaning on his promises. The way you are, that relationship you hold with him, let it remain the same. Don't change it when he gives you everything and start to assume now you know better. That's our problem. That's when he doesn't rush in giving us things. Sometimes the reason that he doesn't rush on giving us things, he might give you, though, he might fulfill his promises to you right now at this get-go. And you might not even live to enjoy those promises. It's not each and everyone in this person who loves you. They will give you those gifts right now, the time when you want it to be handed out to you, without you going back to the words which each and every person loves, that when the time is right, I, the Lord, shall provide. He knows before when he gives to you, wants to see the faith in you. When he wants to give them to you, he wants to see if you're humble enough. When he gives to you, he wants to make sure that you will live, you will be able to enjoy what he has given you, to prosper in life. Why not? You just have to do one thing. Lean onto his promises. Believe in him. He will take you from A to B, fulfilling each and every promise which he told you when you are still at point A. When you arrive at B, there are going to be new promises which will come. At your point from moving to B to C, he's going to put some more promises. God never fails. We are the ones who make him to seem like he fails with our own actions. God doesn't take. We are the ones who forget how we should live with those things. Instead of me being humbled when I receive my promises, I turn into someone who's arrogant and cocky and sees himself above everyone. I'm the one who's wavering all those promises which he has for me. I will be on the opposite road with the father of the nations, Abraham. He never wavered. Abraham went through a lot in his journey, but he kept steadfast and remained in his lane with God. So keep your lane to God and always remain faithful to him. Just lean on his promises. Doesn't require a lot of things. Lean on his promises. Have faith on him. In him. And that's it. I'm JB State. Never be too short to express yourself. Thank you. He always delivers on his promises. Good day and welcome to another episode of State of Mind with JB. Please sit back and enjoy today's episode of the Sunday Smash edition titled Lean on His Promises. He always delivers on his promises as he did with Abraham. Just lean on to his promises and you'll reap the rewards of leaning to his promises. God never ever fails to deliver. He always delivers. All we have to do is just to lean on his promises. Luke 1 verse 37 says, God is able to enable the unable. I go again. God is able to enable the unable. That's God. God of many wonders, full of kindness. He delivers his promises. Go to the Bible. Look through each and every promise which he said. And in all of those promises, he fulfilled them. Abraham, the father of the nation, he was first told that Sarah could not have a child. And God kept it like that. But God, because he knows he's amazing, he knows what he does, he knows his work, he came back upon knowing that Sarah's age has passed. And God said to Abraham and Sarah, you are going to be able to have a child, Sarah. Just like he did with Zachariah and Elizabeth, where he promises, he will fulfill those promises. He knows the time and how he will fulfill your promises. Just lean on what he promises you. Because you can plan as a person, you can plan and do everything. But as Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, with your heart you can plan or you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there and take heart. That's how he does it. But always, whatever you plan to do in life, always try to make sure you align it to what God wants to do for you in his life, in his time, not in his life, in your life. Because God will fulfill each and every promise which he promised each and every one of us. Just remember what Luke 1 verse 37 says, God is able to enable the unable. That's how God is. Let us look in our own lives and in our own general. God will give us what he promises. He will deliver us to the promised land. He will provide us with whatever he promised us. When I speak about the promised land, we need to remember that he told the children of Israel, that I will take you out. He took them out of Egypt. He promised them that they would arrive at a promised land. They walked a long distance, being led by Moses. Yet along that road, that journey, they complained, they argued, they did all of those things, making the journey to be tough upon Moses. But what did God do? They asked everything, they complained, they did everything. God provided everything which they were crying about along that journey. Still on that journey, took them and they arrived where he promised them. But remember, in that group, it was not all of them who were going to arrive in the promised land of Canaan. Moses didn't make it. When they saw Moses remaining behind and not joining them in the mountain of Sinai mountain, they cried foul, they complained. Instead of keeping their journey and moving along, that was Moses' journey, that was his life, that was his purpose, to go and fulfill God's promise of taking those children of Israel out of Egypt, not arriving with them to Egypt, taking them out and making them to be few steps closer to the promised land. That was the lifespan of Moses, because remember, Moses, God promised Moses what he promised during his lifetime, and he gave him everything. When God told Moses, when he was at that mountain of Sinai, when he stood up there on top of the mountain, and then God showed Moses, you see along those lines there, that's the promised land where I will be taking them. But your journey, Moses, ends here. You are not going to go with them. Yours ends here. He didn't complain. He didn't cry foul and say, God, I want to also go and see the promised land. He didn't. But those who left behind, who the promise was for them, they started to cry foul and started to do all sorts of things which they didn't have to do, because they were still continuing with the journey. But they threw the tantrums and everything at God, not understanding that the journey for Moses had to end there, and they continue. Moses was just to take them out and get them closer to the promised land, the promised land which not Moses promised them, but which God promised them. So that's the problem. It was not Moses who they were crying foul for, who promised them to take, who was promising them to get them to the land of Canaan. It was God. They misread the situation. They assumed that they couldn't arrive, since their leader, who was Moses, never came down from the mountain. They assumed that the promise God which made to them was never going to be fulfilled. But he did that. He pushed them. They arrived there. Because Psalm 37, verse 23 says, the steps of a righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and he delights in his way and blesses his path. Moses, he was a righteous man. He did what he was promised. He took them out. God blessed each and every step, blessed the path of him taking them out there until to the end of his journey. Because from everything God will promise you, he said it in Jeremiah, the most famous verse each and everyone loves the most, that I have plans for you, plans which will not lead you, which will not throw you anywhere, which will give you proper life. He has the plans, and some of us can plan, but what he promises, and by the time he delivers, those plans, his promises, are always better than whatever we assume we wanted for ourselves. Because the Romans 4, verse 18 to 22 says, even if when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept believing that he would become the father of the nations, of many nations, for God has said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith didn't weaken. Even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought God the glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as a righteousness, a right man who God loved. Remember, we all came to life via a purpose. God will give us what he has promised us. He will not fail each and every one of you. We are all his children. Whether you believe in him or not, he has a promise for you. And his promise, whether we like it or not, whether people hate you or not, he will fulfill that promise to you. Or I should say promises. Because God is not one who's going to just give you one promise. Yours as a person is just to lean on his promise. Have faith in him. Be like Abraham. Let your faith keep on growing. Trust him. And always know that God is able to do whatever he promises. And by this, by you just providing faith to God, you are able to make God happy. You are able to prove to God that you believe in him, even when the light doesn't dwell, even if you are going through the valley of darkness. He's going to deliver your promises. But here is our key concern, our key problem as people. Just like the children of Israel, the people of Israel, when they saw that Moses never came back from Mount Sinai, we tend to have their actions, their behavior as people. That behavior which I'm talking about is that one of crying foul. When they saw he never came back, they cried foul, they rolled there, they were angry, instead of continuing with their journey. Our behavior is that. I don't know if we read the Bible and we believe what we are reading, or we just believe we read the Bible for just that time when we are reading it. Because in the book of Isaiah, it says that when the time is right, I, the Lord, shall provide. Each and everyone knows that verse, that part which I just stated from Isaiah, and that part which I said from Jeremiah. But at the same time, we read those words, we know those words, but yet we rush the time. We want to have our own plans on top of what God is planning for us. We want him to rush. But you go and read that Isaiah, and you read it, and you, now when there's even WhatsApp there, you will find people all over social media, you'll find people posting those words that when the time is right, I, the Lord, shall provide. But yet, as the same very people read those words, I don't know if we read them just for fun or in reverse, or we don't know the meaning of those words, because we are the same very person, people, who will complain and cry foul and say, the Lord doesn't see me. The Lord promised me that he's going to give me a better life. The Lord promised me 1, 2, 3. The Lord said, I want to have 5, 4, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Or the Lord wants to, the Lord said this to me and the Lord said that to me. How do we read and interpret the Bible if we're failing to lean on his promises? Because this journey you're going, all he's asking, he's not asking for you to help him. The Lord never said anyone should come and help him. No, that God doesn't need help. He never came and said anyone should help him. He never asked for anyone to provide assistance. He didn't bring, when he brought you into this life, he didn't ask anyone for his assistance. He brought you all alone according to his plan. He didn't need assistance when he was bringing Jesus Christ to this world to come and die for us. So, the only thing which he needs from us is just one thing. Faith only. He doesn't want you to go when you get your gift or everything. He doesn't want you to go and or take a car and you say you bought this fancy big car and you say you bought it for the Lord. It's for you. That's what they promised you. That's yours. Just always remember that, lean on his promises. Give him the faith. Always remember, he is able. He never wanted anyone to help him. He knows you better than anyone in this world. He knows you even better than the partner, which you say, that partner knows you than anyone. But the Lord knows you 100 times better. So he doesn't need help. He just needs you to provide and put your faith on him. Walk the road which you must be walking. Don't be like the children of Israel when they arrived upon the promised land. They started to be rebellious. How will the Lord even give you more promises? How will he fulfill all his promises if you turn and you start to be rebellious instead of continuing on your path of being humbled? Don't turn into King Saul, who was humble at the beginning and at the end became arrogant. Keep before the way you are when you stick and you are leaning on his promises, the way you are, that relationship you hold with him, let it remain the same. Don't change it when he gives you everything and start to assume now you know better. That's our problem. That's when he doesn't rush in giving us things. Sometimes the reason that he doesn't rush on giving us things, he might give you, though, he might fulfill his promises to you right now at this get-go. And you might not even live to enjoy those promises. It's not each and everyone in this person who loves you. They will give you those gifts right now, the time when you want it to be handed out to you, without you going back to the words which each and every person loves. That When the time is right, I, the Lord, shall provide. He knows before when he gives to you, wants to see the faith in you. When he wants to give them to you, he wants to see if you're humble enough. When he gives to you, he wants to make sure that you will live, you will be able to enjoy what he has given you, to prosper in life. Why not? You just have to do one thing. Lean onto his promises. Believe in him. He will take you from A to B, fulfilling each and every promise which he told you when you were still at point A. When you arrive at B, there are going to be new promises which will come at your point from moving to B to C. He's going to put some more promises. God never fails. We are the ones who make him to seem like he fails with our own actions. God doesn't take. We are the ones who forget how we should live with those things. Instead of me being humble when I receive my promises, I turn into someone who's arrogant and cocky and sees himself above everyone. I'm the one who's wavering all those promises which he has for me. I will be on the opposite road with the father of the nations, Abraham. He never wavered. Abraham went through a lot in his journey, but he kept steadfast and remained in his lane with God. So keep your lane to God and always remain faithful to him. Just lean on his promises. Doesn't require a lot of things. Lean on his promises. Have faith on him. In him. And that's it. I'm JB State. Never be too shy to express yourself. Thank you.